Lock it down. Talk some Timbers soccer with the voice of the franchise. Many of you recall his fine work for KEZI here in town. Keep up with the Timbs online, timbers.com. Follow our guest on Twitter. The handle is at Jake Zivin. It's been a while. Jake, how are things?
Steve, how are you?
I'm great. No complaints.
I'm good.
So a quick timeline here. When did you leave KEZI, and how long have you been calling the Timbers games?
Yeah, so the best way to put it, I think, is that I'm pretty sure my last day, it wasn't my last official day, but it was my, I think, third to last official day, was Oregon losing to Ohio State in the national championship game. Sorry to bring that up for Duck fans, but that would have been January of 2015, and that was kind of the last thing I did at KEZI before coming up full-time with the Timbers. I had that previous year been doing the radio for the Timbers while still the sports director at KEZI, and then we, you know, came up kind of in a full-time capacity the next year. So this will be my fourth season full-time up here in Portland with the Timbers.
Wow, man, does time fly.
It does, doesn't it, man?
It's amazing. You know, one of the things about MLS is they're really talking about expansion, and from what we're seeing in the NHL with Vegas, I mean, something tells me you better pay attention to the new teams. So we've got a new team this season, the LA Football Club. You just played them Saturday. What kind of start are they off to?
They're great. They were in, well, they still are in second place in the West. They were off to the best expansion start for any, I guess the best start for any expansion team in MLS history until the Timbers beat them on Saturday. 20 points through 10 games. Now it's 20 points through 11 games after the Timbers beat them, which is really good. Soccer, MLS is different from expansion than maybe the NHL would be. In that, so what Vegas is doing is obviously exceptional and odd for an American sport. But with soccer, the pool of players is worldwide, right? I mean, you can pick from players that are playing in 100 countries right now. It's not just limited to the guys that are in the NHL or that are in the NBA, because those are going to be the best players in the world already. So that's why you see a team like LA coming in, and they're able to spend money, if they have it, and grab really fantastic players that are playing elsewhere in the world, bring them to LA, and create a team that can compete for a championship right away. The best example of that over a season has been Atlanta, what they did last year, Atlanta United. They ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs, but they were one of the most exciting teams to watch last year, had an amount of success on and off the field that was unexpected. And that kind of opened everybody's eyes, I think, to a way of doing it, of being an expansion team in MLS. If you come in the right way and you spend the money and you scout the right way and you get the right players, you can compete from day one, both on and off the field in MLS, which Vegas is doing it in the NHL right now. But that is obviously the exception to the rule in most American major sports. Usually it takes some years to compete. Vegas is doing it, but in MLS, I think it's going to be even more common going forward. Teams are competing from day one.
You know, as far as the future, so right now there are 23 teams. I believe they released the list of finalist cities for future expansion late last year. So who's all in the running, and when is the next round of expansion?
Yeah, so we already know that teams 24 and 25 are going to be Nashville and Miami. Those teams have been announced coming into the league, but it hasn't been announced yet when they're going to come into the league. The thought is, and reports will say 2020 for both those teams, but it hasn't been officially announced, and it could change with Miami. Probably couldn't move forward, could maybe move back. That's been an ongoing saga for Nashville. Could maybe move forward, though. Who knows? For team number 26, there's three finalists right now: Cincinnati, Sacramento, and Detroit. If you believe the rumblings out of Cincinnati, what kind of hints that have been dropped on sports radio, they have it, is what I think they think. Cincinnati thinks that they're going to be the 2016 and could start as early as next year. So they would move up to be the 2014. They have a great infrastructure in place already. They're dominating, at least off the field, at the second division level right now in USL, over 20,000 people a game in Lippert Stadium, which is where University of Cincinnati plays football. So they think that if they get the green light from MLS, they can come into the league right away, play in where they're playing now at Nippert, for a few years until they get their new soccer-specific stadium built. But that's all, again, kind of rumblings and half reports and rumors. It is still officially those three teams, Cincinnati, Sacramento, and Detroit, so I should say, in the running for that 26th spot.
Good info. Talking Timber Soccer with the voice of the Timbs, Jake Zivin. Obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about the coaching change, you know, the parting of the ways last November with Caleb Porter. Obviously, being wired in, you hear from fans, you speak to those in the media. How would you describe how the decision sat with those who follow the Timbers most closely?
It was surprising. There's no doubt about it, I think, for everybody. People didn't really see it coming. He'd obviously had a ton of success here. But, you know, people make decisions, and it was 5 years, right? And that can be a good amount of time, especially in the soccer world. I mean, if you look overseas, nobody stays at places for that amount of time even. With Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho, these guys that are right now kind of the big managing names in world soccer, they hop from club to club, from big club to big club. That's just kind of how it works. So given the American, kind of North American sporting landscape, it was surprising. Looking at the world kind of soccer landscape, how those things work, it was less so. I was surprised personally, you know, obviously didn't expect it, but the Timbers, I think, got a great replacement in Giovanni Savarese. It already feels normal that Gio's the coach. It was, you know, weird for a little bit, obviously, in the off season. Weird kind of training yourself to say Giovanni Savarese instead of Caleb Porter. But once the season started once practice started in the preseason, it just kind of was normal. Gio's obviously had a ton of success. He's a great guy for us personally to deal with. Really enjoyed getting to know him, talking with him. And watching his team play, of course, on a 5-game winning streak. So the success that they've had speaks for itself. And the Timbers organization, both on and off the field, really didn't skip a beat.
Now, I did some reading on him. So he hails from Venezuela. Ironically, he relocated to America to attend college at Long Island University. He managed the new edition of the Cosmos before this. So you always hear, and, you know, obviously somebody like me is more familiar stylistically with football, or baseball or basketball, but what could you tell us stylistically about what he brings to the table as the coach?
Yeah, so he, like you said, he was with the Cosmos. So he is Venezuelan, but also his parents are Italian. So he has Italian roots as well. His whole extended family is in Italy, and he was born and raised in Venezuela. So he kind of meshes these styles together, and he spent so much time in America, both at Long Island University and playing in MLS when it started in 1996. So he has all these kind of cultures, these soccer experiences and influences that he's kind of a melting pot of himself. What he wants his teams to be are high-pressing, attacking teams that want to kind of boss the game, so to speak, hold on to the ball, be in control of the game. That's what he wanted coming in. I think he realized early that maybe the personnel that the Timbers had this year weren't best set up for the style that he wanted, and he adapted really quickly to a different formation, a different system, and that's when the success has come. So he's proven that he's adaptable, he's pragmatic with what he has. He's not going to try to fit a square peg into a round hole. He's going to look at each game, both what he has as a team and what the opponents bring, and be able to come up with a plan that makes the most sense for that game to have success. That's what I've been most impressed with him. You mentioned the Cosmos. He was there for 5 years at, again, what was the second division, and had they were by far the best team, had a ton of success. And it had been years of kind of speculating when he was going to get an MLS job. It was kind of like when Chip Kelly was at Oregon, and you knew he was going to go to the NFL, right?
Right.
Almost went to the Bucs, he didn't. But it was all, every time a job opened, he was talked about. That's how it was with Giovanni Savarese the past 2 years. Every time an MLS job opened, his name came up, and then finally it were the Timbers that were able to get him to make the move.
Talking Timber Soccer with Jake Zivin. So now this part of the year, nice to get familiar with some new faces. I know last year Sebastian Blanco joined the team, made an impact, third on the team in goals. This year I was reading about Andy Polo, an international player, 23 years old from Peru, was supposed to provide a nice supplement at forward, but still no goals or assists. He coming along, or maybe he's struggling a bit?
Yeah, so he's playing a position maybe it wasn't expected out of him when he came in. So that kind of goes with how Gio has changed things up in his system, and it's getting a little technical in soccer. But they're now using a formation that's a 4-3-2-1. So you have four defenders, in front of the goalkeeper, and then three midfielders in front of them. So that's a strong defensive block there. It's going to make it hard for the other team to score. Then two attacking midfielders on top of the three, and one forward on top. So it's called a Christmas tree, because when you look at it, it looks kind of like a Christmas tree. So that's what they'll call it. So he's been playing on the left side of those three. So that's a more defensive position than maybe people thought he was going to play coming in, where they expect him to be more of a winger in a 4-2-3-1, which is going to be more advanced up the field, have more attacking responsibilities, fewer defensive responsibilities. He's actually done a really nice job in this role, a more defensive role. He can provide something on a counterattack. He can get forward because he's super fast. The fastest dude probably on the Timbers. There's a lot of options there for fastest guy in the Timbers, but he's certainly in the conversation. But he also has to put in a lot of defensive work, and he's done a really good job at doing that and at kind of linking the team together, where the Timbers have then kind of leaned in the attack on Diego Valera and Sebastian Blanco, the two midfielders, and then Fernando Adi, or Samuel Montero slid off the bench as that one striker position. So I wouldn't read too much into the goals and assist thing with Andy Polo. He's done really well. He's going to be playing for Peru in the World Cup. He's on a 24-man roster. It's going to go down to 23 men. It'd be a shock if he were the one cut. He's going to go into camp with them and likely go to Russia with them, which is awesome for him and great for the Timbers as well to have him on a World Cup roster. David Guzman also will be with Costa Rica, likely as a starter in the World Cup. So it'd be really cool for the Timbers to have two guys going to Russia.
All right, couple final thoughts. The 20-year-old midfielder, Cristian Paredes, the native of Paraguay, who just scored his first goal against LAFC this weekend, put home a rebound off a free kick, assisted on the game winner. So obviously he's producing a little ahead of schedule. I mean, what kind of player is he?
Yeah, same thing with him. So he's playing basically the same position as Andy Polo, just on the right side, so more defensive. And that's what he is. He's a defensive midfielder, or at best what we'd call number eight, a box-to-box midfielder. So he wasn't brought in with the thought of scoring goals and assists. He'll get some because he's a good player. He'll be around the ball in the box. But he has been, I think, maybe not the best player, but the brightest spot on the team to begin this year because of his age. He was 19 when the season started. He just turned 20 a week ago on Friday, so 5 days ago, the day before he scored his first goal, he turned 20. So he's still really young, and he's been really good, I think. He's athletic, he can move, he's fast, he's a good defensive player, and can contribute in the attack as well. So a bright young prospect for the Timbers. He's been fun to watch, and it seems like he gets better and better every game.
And finally, let's preview the road match Saturday, 6 o'clock at Colorado. It'll be on KEVU-TV here in town. Always tough on the road in that league. What could you tell us maybe about the challenges the Rapids present and how the Timbers match up with them?
Yeah, they haven't been very challenging of late. They've lost five in a row, while the Timbers have won five in a row. So judging by that, on paper, Timbers should be okay. But, like you mentioned, it's always tough to go on the road anywhere in MLS, and especially Colorado. You hear it, look, when the Ducks go and play Colorado, or the Beavers go and play Colorado, you hear about the altitude when they're playing at Folsom Field in Boulder. It's the same at Dick's Sporting Goods Park when you're playing the Rapids. I was talking to Alvis Powell, Timbers right back today, and he said the first 5 and 10 minutes of a game there are tough. You make your first run forward, and you're struggling to catch your breath. But then you get used to it. 5 or 10 minutes, you settle in, and you're good, and you're playing like normal. So the first 5 to 10 minutes will be important for the Timbers to make sure they get used to the altitude, get used to the conditions. They're a better team than the Rapids. There's no doubt about that. They're going to finish better than the Rapids in the standings. But when you're on the road, you never know what's going to happen in MLS. Obviously, one game, any team can win. But the Timbers should be in a good spot. They've been playing great. The Rapids have been playing poorly. So we'll see. You mentioned it, 6 o'clock on KEVU. Down there in Eugene, the Timbers have been flying and playing really fun soccer. If they can continue that, it should be a good one to watch for Timbers fans.
All right, folks, he's Jake Zivin on Twitter, @JakeZivin. Keep up with the Timbers, timbers.com. Jake, great catching up. Obviously, look forward to talking again as the season moves along. You travel safe to and from. And like I said, always appreciate the time and look forward to chatting again soon.
Always great to talk to you, Steve, and to the fine people down there in Eugene. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one.